Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I have come to the conclusion that one useless man is called a disgrace, that two are called a law firm, and that three or more become a Congress.
Boom!
And I have had this Congress. For 10 years, King George and his Parliament have gulled, cullied, and diddled these colonies with their illegal taxes, Stamp Acts, Townsend Acts, Sugar Acts, Tea Acts. And when we dared stand up like men, they have stopped our trade, seized our ships, blockaded our ports, burned our towns, and spilled our blood.
This is Wretched Radio. Anyone else feeling like John Adams today? What is going on out there? It isn't morning in America. We're headed toward midnight. All of our values, the morality, the commerce system, government, voting, all of it, it seems to be crumbling right underneath our feet. And if you joined me in sixth grade in saying the Pledge of Allegiance every single morning, singing a patriotic song, loving this country, living through the 80s when we were on the up, it was morning in America. We were beating the Russians. Can I still say Russians? And Finland, the Finnish people in hockey. We had Duran Duran. Everything was great in this country. And we loved it. And we've been patriotic. And that is right. Rightly done. And we have enjoyed the most brilliant system of governance ever concocted. Perfect? Of course not. Human beings wrote it. It can't be perfect. The only perfect sort of governance is theocracy, when God reigns. And he's gonna one day. In the meantime, you and I have enjoyed this country and honestly taken so much of it for granted. Kids playing, don't have to worry about the government confiscating them. Now you think thoughts like that. Hey, they could. What if we're homeschooling and the government shuts us down and they say that we can't be parents anymore? We're thinking thoughts and confronted with such knuckleheadery that we're just staggered and we might be inclined to go, that's it. I'm joining Simon the Zealot. This country is going, gone, and you and I need to do something about it. And I agree, we do need to do something about it, but the question is what? And this is where the conversation gets really, really hard. If you love America, I hope you do. It's been a blessing from God. What are we supposed to do? And now we have absolutely, positively been confronted with making a decision because of what happened in Washington, D.C., when people, because we don't know exactly what the blend of people was, when people stormed into the Capitol, walked into the Capitol, we don't know what they did, but what we know is it was an act of defiance to say, hey, we don't like this, where this thing is going, and we want our voices heard. So now, as a Christian, I've got to ask, do I join them? Can I do a march in the street? Can we destroy property? It's been done before by people who wanted a good country. Do I get to do that? How do I engage with what is going on in my society? Where is the line for me? And I got to tell you something. This is perhaps one of the most challenging, not the most, but one. It's definitely top 10, if not top 5. Working through an issue while losing my pre-understandings, because I've got them deep, don't you? Don't you love this country? Don't you, the things that you take for granted. You hear the football theme and it's like, it just feels good. Football's being played. People are gathering. They're cheering. Well, they used to do that. But the point is, There's so much about this place we love, and now it does appear to be taken away from us. Because people are now in power who have, in my estimation, nefarious goals. They are not godly. I cannot think of one godly decision or one of the any single issue where I have heard one of our leaders speak and I go, yeah, that's actually biblical. Yep. Okay, I see the image of God in that person right now. Not one. Seriously. Marriage, gender issues, and government, taxation, none of it. Private property. None of it is even close to the Bible. And it's like, yeah. Do I get to be a zealot? Do I join a revolution? Let's be honest. We've all talked about it, at least mildly, even at a dinner conversation. What if there's a civil war in this country? Do we fight? What do? We can tackle all of those issues, but I do believe it starts with stripping away all of my American ideologies. And they are mostly positive, frankly. And I've got to say goodbye to them. And that is not easy. And so I'd like to challenge myself and ask you to join in putting ourselves into not the 21st century. We're going to leave it now and go back to the first century. Christians were living in Rome. Who was the governing authority? It was the Roman Empire. It was no longer the Roman Republic. It was the Roman Empire. Nero was the emperor at the time. You had to confess he is Lord. Emperor worship was a criteria for living in the Roman Empire. They caused a little bit of trouble for the Christians for quite a while. He was lighting Christians on fire, using them as scapegoats, because he, it is believed, it was rumored, had set Rome on fire. About 14 of the 17 districts were set on fire by Nero, 64 AD. And he had to find a scapegoat because there was murmuring Nero himself did it so that he could torch the place and rebuild it bigger, better, and in his image. He decided it's the Christians. Please note, not the Jews and the Christians. Historical note, the Christians in 64 were already identified as an independent group of people. And he said, there they are, set them on fire. I'm going to persecute them, blame them. That is the environment that the audience that received this letter from Paul was living in. So now I want to adopt that mindset. I've got to lose Kate Smith. I've got to lose Whitney singing the national anthem when the Rockets flew or when the Jets flew over. Wasn't that amazing? I got to lose all of that for just a moment. We'll get to it. We'll come back to it. We'll talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, but all of that stuff, I've got to make it go away. I don't like doing it, but I'm going to do it because that is the only way to understand my Bible rightly. And so now with that, I'm sitting in somebody's house probably, worried that at this moment, soldiers might break through the door and kill us, light us on fire as torches. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 13. You know the text. Submit to all authorities. Huh? What? We're not in America right now. This is way worse than what America is today. Now, it could get that bad. It really could. I don't know how dark of a midnight it's going to be, but it's nowhere near that at this moment. We still have freedom of religion. We still have freedom of speech. You can still own your gun, Christian. So now, the people that are sitting in Rome are told by Paul, let every person, every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Can you hear them? Say what? Paul, it's Nero. You're going to be sentenced by him. You're going to be languishing in a prison for years because of him. Are you out of your mind? It's not just one verse. It's a section. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Here's what you've got. Authority does not come from the people in our current culture. I know, we look at it and we say, hey, we've got this Constitution, and it's we the people, and we put people in power, and we have authority over them. We do, because we can vote the bums out. But the question, and that what some people look at and go, hey, aren't we the people really the ones in authority here? Got to set that aside for just a moment because they didn't have that document in the first century. I've got to be a first century Christian. Authority actually comes from God, not from a document, not from a revolution. It comes from God. He lends it because they're his representative, for better or for worse, and they're always worse. Always. Even a good one is worse than his rule. They have their authority from God. And then they are appointed by God. They're put there by God. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, whether they stole the election or not, they're there because God has decreed it. And that means the stakes for this difficult conversation suddenly got raised on you and me. Even as we squirmed through this because we're Americans here. If I don't get this right, I'm sinning against God. Uh-oh. Well, now suddenly it's got my attention. If I do not submit rightly to this authority that God is putting in place for us, even as we gnash our teeth about it, I'm not just breaking a law, potentially. I am sinning against God, who has put them in authority to represent him for better or for worse or for worser. And I don't want to biff it because I see what God did to the Jews, who didn't do this particular issue right regarding government, regarding allegiances and alliances. He sent them into captivity, and he called them a crooked and perverse generation. I don't want to be that, so we are going to struggle through this and figure this out painfully together. Next on Wretched Radio. Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Tired of the same old boring, wretched Bible studies? Then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study.
Hey!
They're interesting, relevant, and of course, biblical. The Bible study curriculum comes from our resources, like Drive By Marriage, where you'll find probing, profound, and soul-searching questions that will transform your mind and improve your marriage. Drive By Parenting, equipping you to parent in a way that focuses on the one thing your child needs, that's salvation. Drive-By Theology, that's a Bible study that'll take you deeper without putting you in over your head in subjects like Christology, pneumatology, ecclesiology, and more. There's also studies from our other resources like Jesus Unmasked and Stressed Out. Kick off your new year.
New year, new me.
With these awesome new curriculums, perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, and even your own personal study at home. Get yours today at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture.
guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please put on your first century sandals and prepare to walk a rather painful mile. This is Wretched Radio. If I am going to know how to live in the 21st century, I need to know what it felt like to live in the first century. When Paul wrote an epistle to the Roman Christians who were living under wicked Emperor Nero, they were being persecuted, set on fire, really. And he tells them, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. We want to read this section of scripture without our American pre-understandings. Strip it all away. Get rid of all of it for the moment. And imagine you are living in the first century under Nero. He's down the street, by the way. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. So if you don't do what you're told to do, you rebel, you break laws, you're sinning against God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Do you hear the stakes? This is a command with a threat. This is like, children, honor your parents as in the Lord. It'll go well with you. And if it doesn't, if you don't, it won't. Same thing is true for us. If we don't obey rightly, we're bringing judgment on ourselves. This is nothing to mess around with. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. Obey. And you'll have praise from the same, for he is God's minister for your good. Nero was a stinker, to say that he was a demon. And he was there for their good, because remember, even bad government is better than no government at all. That's a fact. For he is God's minister for your good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He can execute you. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for the conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay your taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Pretty exhaustive list. If I'm living in the first century, I'm gulping. I want to join Simon the Zealot. Can we overthrow these people? How do we react to wickedness? And Paul says, submit. God put him there. They are his representative. And if you don't obey them, you're not obeying him. There's an implication in that, that if I'm not willing to obey those that I can see and who can actually make me feel pain, I won't obey God. 1 Peter, it's the book of persecution. Different author. Same scenario, but he's writing to a disparate group of people. In that, they're widespread. They are all over the Mediterranean. And they are experiencing persecution. Genuine, actual. We're thinking it's coming. They were feeling it. And here's what he says to them in 1 Peter 2. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims. Sojourners and pilgrims. Not like Jim Wallace. But a reminder that this is not our official home. When you put your trust in Jesus, when he became your master, when you are his slave, we were brought into his kingdom and his citizenship, and that is where we live, and that is our priority. That's who we are. We are on a march to heaven. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, but in the meantime, as we live in this corrupt world, he's got a job for us to do. And that is to hold forth the word of life that others might get saved. Isn't that what 1 Peter is about? That all might come to the knowledge of the truth? That they would ask for the hope that lies within you? And persecution is a way for that to happen. Now, here we go in verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We're not obeying Joe Biden. We're doing this for God. Even when it's hard. For the Lord's sake, obey, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. for this is the will of God. Vice President Kamala Harris is the will of God. That by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There it is. So we're going to get persecuted and we're going to respond and we're going to submit. We're going to do what we're told so that people see it. As for the hope that lies within us, it silences evil men and God is glorified. That's our high calling. And that's, get ready. This, I know this is hard. That's more important than America. Ouch. 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 Now, do I realize there's a bunch of other conversations that are ancillary to this? Absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. Totally. And I can just read the comments right now. I understand that. We're just talking about how we're supposed to respond. Do we storm the castle or not? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants, slaves of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, here's where some people would say, but. There's at least two exceptions. This is not a holistic conversation on the subject. This is in part. Please keep that in mind. What about really bad rulers who make really bad laws? Well, we know this. If they tell you to sin, you can't. We obey God. Not going to unpack all of that. But we obey God first and foremost. But then when the authorities, even when it's an annoying thing, not sinful, we obey because then we're obeying God. But what about really, really bad government? Really, I mean, these guys are bad dudes. These people are so abiblical. I couldn't agree more. Verse 16, 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. That isn't just for slaves. That's for all of us today. You got a bad master. You got a bad government. What does he say? Obey, because there's something bigger going on. This is calling me up. This is calling you up. We don't want to think like mystical Christians or Gnostics, but this is calling us to aligning our brain the way that God is viewing things eternally. And this is not easy for me. And I suspect it's a challenge for you too. Servants, be submissive to your master with all fear, not only to the good, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it? When you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, now we're talking about getting beat here. The slave was doing it right, and the harsh master beats him. If you suffer, what good is it? If you take it patiently, this is now commendable to God. If you take it patiently, for to this you were called. Whoa. This really collides with my American mindset. What is top shelf Christianity? What is the high stuff? What are the theologies or the moralities or the sanctification issues that are really, whoa, whoa, wow, that's like the big stuff. I'll never get there. Maybe I'll get 30 years, I'll get there. Is this top shelf Christianity? Is knowing that God is your authority, that we are to submit to even a stinker of a government because we're submitting to him, that we pay our taxes, we do what we're told unless they tell us to sin, even if it means taking a beating. Yeah, there's times you can run. Even if it means taking a beating, because his point isn't that you can't ever run. Paul sometimes did, sometimes he didn't. But did you catch that? For to this is what you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, and he was shellacked. And now this is what you have been called for. This is not top shelf Christianity. This is 101. This is the basics. This is the very, very bottom shelf. We're dead to our sins, we're dead to our old ways of thinking. We are living for a heavenly king in an eternal kingdom. And while we can love the country, I do, while we can love all of the things that it's provided and we mourn it, I now am confronted. And please note, I get it. This is not, if you're hearing, oh, he's just telling us to be passive. No. I'm not, that's not the point of this. I am challenged to be called up to reorganizing my software and to stop having Christianity be an app and have it be my operating system, so that as we start going through darker and darker times, and they are, and it's going to get trickier and harder, I'm going to do it as a citizen of God's kingdom. Is this going to be easy? Nope. Complicated? Lots of stuff to work out? Yeah. But let's do that lovingly, submitting to God's word first, as citizens of his kingdom. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, the number of clinics that provide surgical abortion procedures has declined over the past several years, while the number of clinics that provide only abortion pills is increasing. That's according to an annual report by a leading pro-life activist group. The Kansas-based Operation Rescue released the report Tuesday examining trends among abortion clinics across the country. The report finds that the number of surgical abortion clinics in the United States has dropped by over 35% from 713 facilities in 2009 to 458 facilities in 2020. Meanwhile, clinics that provide non-surgical abortion methods, such as abortion-inducing drugs, have been on the rise in the U.S., going from 131 facilities in 2009 to 248 facilities in 2020. Overall, there were 706 clinics offering abortions of some kind in 2020, slightly down from the 710 facilities reported to be operating in 2019 and well below the 856 that were open in 2012. In a statement included in the report, Operation Rescue President Troy Newman considered the latest numbers to be promising news for the pro-life movement. He said, quote, "The decline in surgical abortion facilities continues to be bad news for the abortion cartel, but it's great news for women and their babies." Overall, the report states that during 2020, 45 abortion clinics either closed down or stopped providing abortion services as part of their reproductive health care services. For the first time in their annual report, Operation Rescue opted to track clinics that distribute abortion drugs through telemedicine. The group found that 69 facilities, or nearly 10% of abortion clinics, have telemedicine programs. Well, the country of Nigeria ended its year with a massive spike in terrorism. Jihadists in the country reportedly hacked 200 Christians to death, illustrating what experts are calling a dangerous situation for Christians. According to an interview report by the International Society for Civil Liberties and the Rule of Law, a total of 2,400 Christians were hacked to death by jihadists in Nigeria in 2020. The 200 Christians attacked during the Christmas season by Muslim extremists was simply expression of the status quo in Nigeria, according to the report. And that massacre alone, the report states that the slain Christians included those abducted on religious grounds and were likely to have been killed in captivity, including five abducted on Christmas Eve and beheaded on the 29th of December. Additionally, the report highlights that the official statistics are unwilling to address the true nature of Christian persecution, where they claim that it's at least 60 Christians killed without providing a true upper limit, because it would actually show numbers that were much higher. As always, continue to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and he is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So, how are your emotions today? This is Wretched Radio. Emotions are tricky things. It is not simple to figure out how you're feeling. What is going on in my emotion center? This is why we have so many words to describe so many of similar feelings, because every single emotion that you possess, there's shades of it. Sad, blue, depressed, bummed out, anxious, concerned, worried, lethargic. Okay. all kind of dealing with the same feeling, but a little different. And we all know that, and we all get that. And that is what makes thinking through our feelings as a Christian a bit of a challenge, not because we don't have a clear directive from the Bible to control our emotions, but I think regularly it's defining what emotion it is that I'm dealing with. And furthermore, we also can have the tendency to not keep our emotional categories separate. When we talk about an emotional issue, there is an inclination to say, yeah, but what about? And then there's this feeling, what about that issue? How am I dealing with that subject over there? And everything can get really, really muddy. Let me see if I can create a list. See how many you would check off on your emotion checklist, how you are feeling today, now that America is in the power of people that I think are absolutely evil. How are you feeling? Now, here's what we're going to guard against as we go through this list, and this is going to help illuminate it. We got to keep our categories really straight here and not run all over the place. And it's not easy. All right. So you are sad. You are disappointed. You are bummed out. You are potentially angry, furious, righteously indignant, concerned, anxious, scared. You are losing hope. You're hopeless. You're not optimistic. The future is dim. How many of those boxes did you check? I gave you three different categories with different shades of each one of the emotions there. Did you catch that? It's like the sadness feeling, that category. There was the mad category, and then there was the future category. How, you know, what's going to happen coming up here? How are you feeling in each one of those categories? And here's why I am belaboring the category point, because it's been my experience with myself, and then I see it online too, typically with debates, that when one issue, one emotion is being talked about, all of the other ones get brought in, and then the conversation gets really muddied, and then I have no idea what we're talking about, and there's no resolution. So let's talk about these three categories of emotions with varying shades without bringing in the, yeah, but no, but what about? Can we do that? Are you sad? And is that a correct emotion for the Christian? As you see, things are shifting. How big is it going to go? I don't know. Will the court get packed? I don't know. Will they bring in Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., and there will never be anybody who is on the more right side of the issues in office again? I don't know. But are you sad about that? And is that okay? And the answer is, yeah. We're human beings. And we see God is not moved by us, but God does have emotions. He's not emotional, but he has emotions. His impassibility does not negate the fact that he has feelings. That's why we've got them, because we're made in his image. His are steady. His are predetermined. Ours are a whiplashed mess. It's part of the noetic effect of the fall. Our emotion center suffers really great violence because of the fall. It's okay for us to be sad. God mourns things. He knew they were going to happen. Nevertheless, he mourns them, and we can too. It's fine to be sad. Of course it is. But here's the trick. Those other categories, they start getting in there. Now I start thinking about how mad I am about this. These people, they are on a march to evil. I agree. And now, is that okay? Well, we're in a different category now, and there's different types of anger. Sinful, righteous. Which do you have? And we can easily justify, and I'm talking about myself here, I can easily justify sinful anger because I'm thinking in righteous categories. Because these issues are about righteousness and justice. And so when I get mad at them, I just go, well, of course I've got righteous anger because I've got a righteous framework. Well, not necessarily. I might just be downright sinful. I'm just mad at these people. I'm just angry. You're wrecking so much that's good. No system is going to make it utopia. Try as you might, ain't going to happen. But this has been the best system for the most people. Let's keep tweaking it, but let's not trash it. And you're making me mad. Is that righteous? Because I've got the righteous position? I don't think so. So now I've got to, in that anger column and category, I got to watch out for that one while I'm being sad. But my sadness can also become sinful. We're back to another column and category right now. My sadness can be sinful. Why? Because I have put my hope in a system for my security, for my protection, for my future, for my 401k, for my children, for my grandchildren, for posterity. All of these things, they're slip sliding away. And now I'm really sad. Uh-oh. Got to be careful there. It's okay to be sad. But if you now are feeling so woe is you, it is almost a sure sign that the psalmist has a word for you. You've been putting your hope in chariots and men. This is such a good test for me. If I'm really kind of like sad, like, what happens if we lose our house? How? I don't like that idea at all. I really don't like that idea. Can I be sad about that if that happens? Yeah. But if I'm in the pits because of it, like, okay, then life is just terrible because I don't have a house. Uh-oh. Then I've been loving my house too much. Ugh. Emotions are tricky things. You and I have to work really, really hard to make sure that we are not going into the sin category of emotions. Every single emotion and feeling can either be righteous or sinful. Every single one. There, you cannot name an emotion that there isn't two sides to it. Jimmy, we've talked about a bunch of emotions. Just fling one out. Any sort of feeling that human beings have.
Anxiousness.
Okay. Define anxiousness.
Well, I mean, I think you just talked about it, but just being nervous and worrying over everything.
All right. Define nervous and worrying. Do you mean I'm aware of bad things coming? Right. I feel sad about that. And so I'm going to start planning and coming up with scenarios to make sure that we're in a safe place. Okay. I'm down with that. But here's this where it gets so tricky. When you say anxious, it means there's no hope for me. This is a mess. We're in peril here, and I don't think God has it under control. Now, that's a different type of anxious. So now we've moved into the future category, how I'm feeling about the future. Can I be sad about it? Yeah. Can I be anxious? Define anxious. What does it mean? There's such shading to emotions. Why am I belaboring this? Because I believe that you and I need to work a little bit harder on figuring out how we're feeling. The psychotherapists can't do it. The secular psychologists, they're just out of the ball game. We can. And we've got enough in the Bible to guide us through this. But the encouragement to me and perhaps to you is to figure out what I'm feeling here. Because there are many emotions that are right and good as we grieve. Can a widow grieve her dead husband? Of course she can. Can she grieve to the point of hopelessness? No, she can't. She can't. Because God ultimately is her husband. God is her rock. And do you hear the fine line here? So if you lose something and you grieve, we've got to ask why. Got to ask why. Because it can be okay if we're sad about America crumbling. Absolutely, positively. But if we're sad, potentially afraid, maybe angry, it would likely indicate, and you got to do you and I do me, it would indicate that's been my rock. That's been my trust. Okay, whew, we've had 4 years of safety. I was good for 4 years. Now I'm a political nervous wreck. Pretty good sign that maybe you've been trusting a political party, politician, the majority, to be your rock and your fortress when God is, not wants to be, he is, and we're just forgetting it. No question about it. These are bummer times. To say the least, they're bummer times. And this isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy figuring out how we respond. Let's do this together, helping one another figure out our feelings, because we want to have biblical feelings. We don't want to sin against God, and we want to grow through this in godliness. And wouldn't that be worth it? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here at Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of your time. And I wonder if you've had time to check out Wretched TV. It's our daily 30-minute television program with Todd. It's the best of both worlds. You not only get to hear him like you do here on Wretched Radio, but you also get to see him. There's live witnessing encounters on Wretched TV. There's discussions of tough theological issues and various topics in the Christian community. You can see it all at wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV. And it's only because of our gospel partners that we're able to make Wretched TV available to everyone. If you're already a gospel partner, we thank you for your generous efforts. And if you're not one, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? You can help us to continue making Wretched Television available to everyone. You can find out more at wretched.org/donate right now. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Yep, I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month, and you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
Okay, Boomer, it's time for you to take a step back and examine your behavior. So let's take an honest self-assessment here. Are you being a sharent? Okay, you didn't mishear me. I said sharent. Are you being a sharent? What's a sharent, you ask? Well, a sharent is a parent who shares way too much information about their families, especially their kids, on social media. So, are you a sharent? Because listen, you honestly don't have to be. We have a way better way for you to spend your time. You can head on over to wretched.org and watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV. Listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. And while you're spending your time wisely at wretched.org, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? Because without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll just have to go back to embarrassing your kids on social media. And trust me, nobody wants that. Visit wretched.org today. That's wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. As the Israelites prepared to enter the Promised Land after wandering 40 years, God reminds them of how he rescued them from Egypt, what he commands in his law, and the blessings and curses that come with keeping or breaking his law. God is faithful to provide the inheritance he has promised to his children. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Hey, what's that sound effect? Yes.
Yeah, he's dead.
We're gonna beat this horse because let's be honest, this conversation is not dead. It's a big one. It's relatively new for Christians in America, and it is what you are talking about. It is what you are thinking about, and it is imperative that you and I work through it together. These issues are so phenomenally complex. It is like an emotional tapestry all woven together. You pull this thread, that one comes out with it. It is difficult to figure out how we are supposed to feel and behave when everything appears to be changing. This is a big deal. And to minimize it and go, oh, come on, it's just an election. Just let's move on. Everybody's life is being challenged. Freedoms, liberties, it means the way that you wake up and go about your business during the day, it's not the same And I fear too often we either spend way too much time navel-gazing or we spend no time. We just plod through, not recognizing the signs of the times. I wouldn't build a church on this particular verse, but Jesus, when he was admonishing the Pharisees, could be admonishing you and me when it comes to history and the present. He said, so let me get this straight. I'm paraphrasing. You can tell the weather by looking at the signs of the times. You can see the sun go down. It's that color, red. It's going to be a good day. You see it come up red. You know that it's going to be a storm. You get that. But you can't read the signs that the Messiah is in your midst? What is the matter with you? Wow. In other words, why aren't you aware of what's going on? Why don't you get this? Don't you remember, you know, your Jewish history? Don't you remember Psalm 2? Don't you remember Isaiah 53? I'm here. You can't get it because you're not thinking and you are not aware of what was happening in the past to know what is going on in the present because God is orchestrating history. And so you and I should be, without becoming navel gazers, that's what Buddhists do, we're aware of what's going on. So what's happening out there? How are we living? Let's be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. And I think we need to do it together. Right now, even as I speak, out of the tens and tens of people listening to this program, I doubt any of us are on the exact same page. I doubt it. Now, that doesn't mean at some point we might not find increasing agreement. But right now, we're probably off on these things because this is new territory. We're having to deal with a country that is now against Christians, and it is. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? How am I living? How am I preparing? What am I doing? How do I respond? Now, these are big questions for a brave new world, and I don't think that I can answer them by myself, for me, and certainly not for you. This is what the church does together. And so as we go about the business, even now, or any other time that we talk about this, or you talk about this, might I suggest we recognize we are at different shades, different levels of understanding the issues, contemplating the issues, experience with the issues, studying the issues. And I don't think any of us are going to be in lockstep at this moment. And the last thing that I think should happen is that we divide over these things. There's a pretty good chance, if you're still listening, you're annoyed with me right now because it seems perhaps really clear to you. And I'm sure it does. And I've got some pretty clear ideas. Now, have they been pressure tested? Not much. I probably sing with a chorus for the most part. But can I see you on Sunday morning? And can we talk about this issue and maybe discover, oh boy, she isn't seeing this the way that I do. They've got a real, they're like a 10 on this emotion, and I'm at about like a nothing. Can I go, I get it, I understand, brother, sister, I understand. Well, let's figure this out together. Can we do that? Can we get better together? That is absolutely what we're supposed to be doing. And we cannot let our current mindset of cable debates, social media discourse, define how we talk about these things together. We have to find a better way to do it. I know how I feel about me and my opinion. I know it. I'm so right. I mean, wow, am I right? And now along you come and you go, you know, about your concern about capitalism and socialism, I think, you know, you're overheated on that deal. Well, I could quickly put you into the category of heretic. These issues are not orthodoxy issues. I would like you to imagine something for a moment. Maybe it is I. Maybe you have to think of somebody else. But right now, think of somebody who's kind of bugging you because you're not agreeing on this subject. Somebody who's a believer. Right? No, let's do this. Jimmy Jam.
Yes, I always disagree with you, so let's go.
Okay, perfect.
Great test.
You could have at least let me ask the question, oh, man. Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, have you disagreed with me on any of these things? Even a shade?
Today, no. Huh?
You haven't?
I have not. No.
Okay, all right. Well, that's...
Actually,
that's,
you're teaching me, so...
Okay, well, that's pretty stunning. But let's just say that you and I have a different, and no doubt we would, because if we'd keep digging down, you'd probably go, or I didn't arrive at the same conclusion the same way you did. But now let's imagine, let's just fast forward into the future without Michael J. Fox. We get arrested and we get thrown in a Philippian prison like Paul did. And Jimmy, you and I are shackled together at the ankles. Okay. It's midnight. Do you think you and I could sing hymns together the way that Paul and I believe Barnabas did?
No. No, I mean, honestly, I would want to answer yes. I would want to, but
I'm not talking about because we're in prison. I'm talking about because we can love one another, even though we came into the jail cell disagreeing on the assault on capitalism or the threat of socialism. I think those things are going to evaporate.
Yeah, for sure.
They look, this is the ditch danger. I can make the point, I think pretty persuasively, that the current things of this world, they are a vapor. How can I make that point with authority? Because, well, that's what the Bible says. These things are a vapor. They're kindling. They're all going to get torched. None of this stuff for eternity matters. It does not affect the kingdom of Jesus Christ at all. None. Zero. All of history, every event outside of the church exists for the church. Jesus is building his church, so everything that he is orchestrating and ordaining, it is for church history, not world history. And these things one day are not going to, and you can hear that and you can go, amen. Now I can go into a ditch. Therefore, I don't care about America. Don't bother voting. It's just stupid anyway, and we shouldn't be involved. And I'm not going to try to help people, and I'm never going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm done. Hold on. Wait a second. That's a ditch. And that, by the way, is the way we tend to communicate with one another a lot. Oh, you said this, therefore, boom, I'm over there. There's more nuance to all of this stuff. And my singular point in putting us all into a Philippian jail is, will we, when we are locked up, when we are literally breaking bread because a crust of bread has been thrown in and we're dividing it and sharing it with one another, will we be able to sing together, or will this have caused us to not fellowship? This stuff is going to be gone, is my point. We're one in Christ. We are slaves of the most benevolent master imaginable. And you and I, we are brothers, and we're brothers and sisters. This is not like one of those dramas from the 80s where the brother goes here, the other brother goes there, and then they never talk. No. We don't get to divide. We don't get to do that. That's a sin. We don't get to. We're together. And someday, should we ever be dragged together through a court and thrown into a jail, I'm quite certain that you and I are not going to sit there going, you know, hold on a second. Before we sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. I got to ask you, when Kamala Harris was talking about legalizing prostitution, on a scale of 1 to 10, how incensed were you? Yeah, it was about like a 7 or 8, I guess. No, you should have been a 10. Jailer, guard, get me away from this, brother. Perspective, Bible, understanding. Emotions are tricky. These issues are tricky. Ditches are everywhere. We've got a new chapter that we're opening up in America and for the church. And if we can't write this chapter together, improving together, that will have been, frankly, the biggest tragedy of all. Disagree with me, disagree with others, fine. But let's do it lovingly. Let's do it together, knowing that you can help me, I might be able to help you, and together we can become more like our Master, Jesus Christ. Kind of cool. Put it in that perspective. Kind of exciting times ahead. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.